Me a thumbs up. Chapter 5, The Radish Cure. Grandma's lost her voice a little bit, so I will be a little raspy here. The Radish Cure. Up to the time of this story, Patsy was just an everyday little girl. Sometimes she was good, and sometimes she was naughty, but usually she did what her mother told her without too much fuss. But one morning, Patsy's mother filled the bathtub with nice warm water and called to Patsy to come and take her bath. Patsy came into the bathroom, but when she saw the nice warm tub of water, she began to scream and yell and kick and howl like a wild animal. Naturally, her mother was quite surprised to see her little girl acting so peculiarly, but she didn't say anything, just took off Patsy's bathrobe and said, "Now, Patsy, stop all this nonsense and hop into the tub." Patsy gave a piercing shriek and ran from the bathroom, stark naked, yelling, "I won't take a bath! I won't ever take a bath! I hate baths! I hate baths! Hate baths!" Patsy's mother let the water out of the tub, went downstairs to telephone her friends and find out if their children had ever behaved in this unusual fashion, if it was catching, and what to do about it. First, she called Mrs. Brown. She said, "Hello, Mrs. Brown. This is Patsy's mother, and I am having such a time this morning. Patsy simply will not take a bath. Pardon me just a minute, Mrs. Brown." She put down the telephone receiver and went over to Patsy, who was standing in the kitchen doorway listening to the telephone conversation and feeling very important. Patsy said, "What did Mrs. Brown say to do with me, Mother?" Patsy's mother said, "She hasn't told me yet. But while I'm finding out, you had better march right up back upstairs and get dressed, and then you can pick up that messy, sticky pasting work you left all over your room last night. Don't come downstairs until every single thing is put away." Patsy's mother picked up the telephone, and Mrs. Brown said, "I'm sorry, but I can't offer any suggestions because our little Prunella just adores to bathe. Perhaps Mrs. Grotto could help you." So Patsy's mother called Mrs. Grotto. She said, "Hello, Mrs. Grotto. I just called to ask if you could help me with Patsy. She won't take a bath, and I'm at my wit's end." Mrs. Grotto said, "Well, frankly, I don't know what to suggest, because our little paraphernalia simply worships her bath. Of course, paraphernalia is quite a remarkable child anyway. Why, Thursday afternoon," she said. "Yes, yes, I know," said Patsy's mother quickly. "Goodbye, Mrs. Grotto. Thank you anyway." Then Patsy's mother called Mrs. Broomrack. "Good morning, Mrs. Broomrack," she said a little too brightly. "I wonder if you could do me a favor." "Why, of course, dear, of course," said Mrs. Broomrack. "Well," said Patsy's mother, "this morning, for the first time in her life, our little Patsy won't take a bath. The very idea seems to make her hysterical, and I don't know what to do." Mrs. Broomstick said, "Why, you poor dear, all alone in that big house with an unmanageable child. Personally, I don't know what to say, because our little cormorant looks forward so to taking a bath. Bathing is his favorite pastime. In fact, sometimes we can't get him out of the tub." "Why don't you let him stay in then?" said Patsy's mother. "Because he might drown," squealed Mrs. Broomrack. "Well," said Patsy's mother as she hung up the phone. By this time she was feeling rather depressed, because it seemed that bathing was the most popular indoor sport with every child in town but her own dirty little girl. In desperation, she decided to call Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle. "She should know about children," thought Miss Patsy's mother. "She certainly has her house crawling with them day and night." It certainly was fortunate for Patsy's mother that the thought of Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle, because although Mrs. Piggle-Wiggle has no children of her own and lives in an upside-down house, she understands children better than anybody in the whole world. She is always ready to stop whatever she is doing and have a tea party. She is glad to have children dig worms in her petunia bed. She has a large trunk full of scraps for doll clothes and another trunk full of valuable rocks and gold in them. She is delighted to have children pick up and look at all the little things which she keeps on her tables. And when Hubert Prentice dropped the glass ball that snowed on the children when he shook it, she said, "Heavens, Hubert, don't cry. I'm so glad this happened. For years and years I have wanted to know what was in that glass ball." Mrs. Pigglewiggle takes it for granted that you will want to try on her shoes and go wiggling around on high heels, which is probably why she was not at all surprised when Patsy's mother told her about the bath. "I suppose we come to it sooner or later," she said. "Well, from my experience, I would say that the radish cure is probably the quickest and most lasting." "The radish cure?" said Patsy's mother. "Yes," said Mrs. Figglewiggle. "The radish cure is just what Patsy needs. All you have to do is buy one package of radish seeds. The small red round ones are the best, and don't get that long white icicle type. Then let Patsy strictly alone as far as washing is concerned for several weeks. When she has about half an inch of rich black dirt all over her, and after she is asleep at night, scatter radish seeds on her arms and head. Press them in gently and then just wait. I don't think you will have to water them because we are in the rainy season now, and she probably will go outdoors now and then. When the little radish plants have 3 leaves, you may begin pulling the largest ones. Oh yes, Patsy will probably look quite horrible before the radish cure is over. So if you find that she is scaring too many people or her father objects to having her around, let me know, and I will be glad to take her over here. You see, all of my visitors are children, and dirt doesn't frighten them." Patsy's mother thanked Mrs. Pigglewiggle very, very much for her kind advice, and then called up Patsy's father and told him to be sure and bring home a package of radish seeds. Early Red Globe, she thought they were called. The next morning, she didn't say one single word to Patsy about a bath. And so Patsy was sweet and didn't act like a wild animal. The next day was the same, and so was the next and the next. When Sunday came, Patsy was a rather dark, blackish-gray color, so her mother suggested that she stay home from Sunday school. Patsy's father, who had by this time been told of the radish cure, didn't say anything to Patsy about her washing, but he winced whenever he looked at her. By the end of the 3rd week, they had to keep Patsy indoors all of the time, because one morning she skipped out to get the mail, and the postman, on seeing her straggly, uncombed, dust-caked hair and the rapidly forming layer of topsoil on her face, neck, and arms, gave a terrified yell and fell down the front steps. Patsy seemed quite happy, though. Of course, it was getting hard to tell how she felt, as her face was so caked with dirt that she couldn't smile, and she talked, "Oh, geez, I am Atsy, and I only go out." She also had to take little teeny bites of food, because she couldn't open her mouth more than a crack. Naturally, her father and mother had to stop having any friends in to visit, except in the evening, when Patsy was in bed, and even then, they were not at all comfortable for fear Patsy would wake up and call, "Ink of water, Daddy. Really, bring me a drink of water, Daddy." At last, however, the day came when Patsy was ready to plant. That night when she was asleep, her mother and father tiptoed into her room and very gently pressed radish seeds into her forehead, her arms, and the back of her hands. When they had finished and were standing by her bed, gazing fondly at their handiwork, Patsy's father said, "Repulsive little thing, isn't she?" Patsy's mother said, "Why, George, that's a terrible thing to say of your own child. My little girl is buried so deep in that dirt that I can't even remember what she looks like," said Patsy's father, and he stamped down the stairs. The radish cure certainly is hard on the parents. Quite a few days after that, Patsy awoke one morning, and there on the back of her hand, in fact, on the backs of both hands, and on her arms, and on her forehead, were green leaves. Patsy tried to brush them off, but they just bent over and sprang right up again. She jumped out of bed and ran down the stairs to the dining room where her mother and father were eating breakfast. "Look, look at Anne's," she squealed. Her father said, "Behold the bloom of youth." And her mother said, "George," then jumped up briskly, went over to Patsy, took a firm hold of one of the plants on her forehead and gave it a quick jerk. Patsy squealed, and her mother showed her the little red radish she had pulled. Patsy tried to pull one out of her arm, but her hands were so caked with dirt that they couldn't grasp the little leaves, so her mother had to pull them. When they had finished one hand and part of the left arm, Patsy suddenly said, "Mother, I on a bath." "What did you say?" asked her mother, busily pulling the radishes and putting them in her neat little, putting them in neat little piles on the dining room table. "I want a bath," said Patsy, so plainly that it cracked the mud on her left cheek. Patsy's mother said, "I think it had better be a shower." And without another word, she went in and turned on the warm water. Patsy was in the shower all that day. She used up two whole bars of soap, and she didn't even come out for lunch. But when her father came home for dinner, there she was, waiting for him at the door, clean, sweet, and smiling. And in her hand, she had a plate of little red radishes. Chapter 6. The Never Want to Go to Bedder's Cure. Each evening as the clock struck 8, Mrs. Gray called Bobby and Larry and Susan. She said, "Come, children, 8 o'clock and time for bed." She tried to make her voice sound cheerful and gay, but actually she felt like groaning because she knew what was coming. First, Susan, "Oh, we don't want to go to bed now. Please let us stay up a little while longer." "Please, Mother, please." Then Bobby, "We are the only ones in our whole neighborhood who have to go to bed at 8 o'clock. Then Larry, "Mother, nobody, not anybody at all, goes to bed at 8 o'clock. Then Susan said again, "But Mother, we have only just started this game." Then Bobby, "Please let us finish this game, please." Then Larry, "Just one more turn, Mother. It's my turn, Mother, and I haven't won a game this evening. Please." Mrs. Grace said, "Now, Bobby, Larry, and Susan, you know that if you want to grow up into fine young men and women, you must have plenty of sleep. I'm sure they teach you that in school." "And we don't want to grow up. We just want to finish this game," Bobby wailed. And so night after night, poor Mrs. Gray argued and pled and begged her children to go to bed, and by the time they had finished whining and complaining, it was usually almost 9 o'clock. Mrs. Gray was desperate. Finally, one day, she called her friend, Mrs. Grassfeather. She said, "Hello, Mrs. Grassfeather. This is Mrs. Gray, and I would like to find out what time Catherine and Wilfred go to bed." Mrs. Grassfeather said, "Why, at 8 o'clock?" Mrs. Gray, unless they're... Oh. Mrs. Grassfeather said, "Why, at 8 o'clock, Mrs. Gray, unless their Uncle Jasper comes for dinner. And then I usually let them stay up until 9:30 to hear Uncle Jasper tell about his experiences in the Boer War." That, of course, is strictly Mr. Grassfeather's idea. He not only allows the children to stay up until 9:30, but he pays them as well for listening to Uncle Jasper while he goes to bed. Mrs. Gray said, "Do the children like to go to bed at 8 o'clock?" Mrs. Grassfeather said, "Oh, they are very good about it because they know that if they whine and complain, I will not let them stay up the next time Uncle Jasper comes over, which is about 4 nights a week. As the Grays had no Uncle Jasper, Mrs. Gray realized that Mrs. Grassfeather could be of no help, so she said goodbye and hung up the phone. Then she called Mrs. Gardenfield. "Hello, Mrs. Gardenfield. This is Mrs. Gray, and I called to see what time Worthington and Genevieve go to bed at night." Mrs. Gardenfield said, "Oh, they go to bed any time after Daddy comes home. You see, Mrs. Gray, Mr. Greenfield, Gardenfield gets home at 4:30. We have dinner at 5:30, and the children, Mr. Gardenfield, and I all go to bed at 6:30. 6:30, said Mrs. Gray, amazed. My goodness, that is early. Mrs. Gardenfield said, "It is not early if you get up at 4:30. Mrs. Gray said, "But who wants to get up at 4:30? "We do," said Mrs. Gardenfield, and hung up the phone in a huff. So Mrs. Gray thought and thought, and suddenly she remembered that only yesterday Dick Thompson's mother had been telling her about a wonderful little woman named Mrs. Figglewiggle. And so, even though she had never seen Mrs. Figglewiggle, she had decided to call her on the telephone. And asked her to help her with her never-want-to-go-to-bedders. She said to Mrs. Figglewiggle, "I am Mrs. Gray, the mother of Bobby, Larry, and Susan." Mrs. Figglewiggle said, "Oh, yes, of course. How are the children? I have not seen them since they returned from camp." Mrs. Gray said, "Mrs. Figglewiggle, Bobby and Larry and Susan are very well and very cooperative until about 8 o'clock at night, and then they turn into whiny, complaining little non-cooperators." Mrs. Figglewiggle said, "Oh, yes, I see. They are never one to go to bedders, aren't they?" Mrs. Gray said, "How on earth did you know?" Mrs. Figglewiggle laughed and said, "Oh, that is one of the commonest of the children's ailments. The moment you said they were good until 8 o'clock, I knew what the trouble was." Mrs. Gray said, "Do you know anything else? Anything to do for them? How to cure this hateful disease?" Mrs. Figglewiggle said, "Oh, that's very simple. Beginning tonight, don't tell them to go to bed. Let them stay up as late as they want to. You and Mr. Gray go on to bed anytime you are tired, but leave the children downstairs." Mrs. Gray said, "But their health, that will ruin their health." Mrs. Figglewiggle said, "Well, I do not believe that a day or so without sleep will harm them, and it will certainly cure them. It is really worth a try, Mrs. Gray. But if you have any trouble and the cure doesn't seem to be working, call me." Mrs. Gray said, "Oh, thank you so much, Mrs. Figglewiggle. I will let you know tomorrow how we are getting along." That night at 8 o'clock, the clock struck, and Mrs. Gray continued to mend socks and said nothing about bed, and Mr. Gray changed the radio, and Bobby and Larry and Susan played Parcheesi. At 9 o'clock, the clock struck again, and Mrs. Gray put down the socks and took up a woman's magazine. Mr. Gray changed the radio, and Bobby and Larry and Susan continued to play Parcheesi. When 10 o'clock struck, Mrs. Gray yawned and put down the night magazine. Mr. Gray snapped off the radio, and Larry and Susan and Bobby began to play another game of Parcheesi. At 10:30, Mr. and Mrs. Gray went upstairs to bed and left the children playing Parcheesi. At 12 o'clock, Mrs. Gray awoke and at first thought there were burglars in the house. Then she remembered the never-want-to-go-to-bedders, so she tiptoed down the stairs, and there were Bobby and Larry and Susan playing Parcheesi on the living room rug. The next morning, the children slept until 11:30. About 9 o'clock, Dick Thompson's mother stopped by to take them to the beach, but Mrs. Gray told her they were still asleep. When the children finally got up, they were cross and quarrelsome. When their mother told them about Mrs. Thompson inviting them to the beach, they said, "Why didn't she wait for us? Why didn't you wake us up? I think Mrs. Thompson's mean not to wait." Mrs. Gray said, "I see no reason why Mrs. Thompson and Dick should have their day spoiled waiting for the three little members of the all-night Parcheesi Club to get up. Now come and eat your breakfast and stop complaining." That night after dinner, Mr. and Mrs. Gray went to a moving picture show and left Larry and Bobby and Susan playing tiddlywinks. When the Grays came home about 12:30, the children were still up playing tiddlywinks and quarreling about whose turn it was. The next morning they had a 9 o'clock dentist appointment, and so Mrs. Gray got them up at 8. Susan was so sleepy She could not eat her mush, and Larry yawned so much he choked on his egg and had to be turned upside down and shaken by his legs. Bobby just sat and rubbed his eyes. Bobby went to sleep in the car on the way to the dentist. Susan went to sleep in the dentist's waiting room, and Larry slept all the way home. That night, when after their parents had gone to bed, Larry said, "Why do we have to stay in the house for all the time? Let's go outside and play." So they went outside and put on their roller skates and began skating up and down on the dark streets. Mrs. Milgram, who lives on the corner, came on her front porch in her bathrobe and yelled, "For heaven's sake, don't you children know what is almost midnight? What on earth are you doing up at this hour?" Larry said, "We don't have to go to bed anymore. We stay up late every night." Mrs. Milgram said, "We'll stay up someplace else and be quiet." She went into the house and slammed the door. So the children took off their skates and tiptoed back to the house. They got out the Parcheesi board, but Susan said it was her turn for the pinks, and Larry said, "I happen to beg your pardon, but it is my turn." Susan said, "You had the pinks yesterday, and Bobby had them the day before, and it's my turn tonight." She began to cry. Larry threw the pinks at her, and one of them went into the fireplace, and they had to strain the ashes through their fingers until they found it. When they were finally ready to play, Bobby was asleep with his head on the board. So Susan and Larry played jumping their man across Bobby's head until Susan, too, fell asleep right in the middle of her turn. Larry woke Susan and Bobby, and they all went to bed just as the clock struck one. The next day, there was a matinee at the neighborhood theater, and Mrs. Gray said they could go. It was a wonderful picture with Indians and cowboys and pioneers, and the children were very excited. But no sooner had they found their seats and settled back in the nice, dark theater when first Susan, then Bobby, and then finally Larry fell asleep. They slept peacefully through the Indian picture, a Mickey Mouse cartoon, and a newsreel. When the show was over, all the other children went home to dinner, but Larry and Susan and Bobby slept on. Susan was the first to awake. She sat up and rubbed her eyes. Where was she? Why was it so dark? Oh, how stiff and cramped she was. She poked Larry and Bobby until they too awoke. They were frightened when they realized that they were still in the theater, now dark and empty except for two rats nibbling popcorn in the front row. Susan began to cry. "Everybody's gone and left us, and we'll have to stay here and here till we die," she bawled. Larry said, "Oh, Susan, don't be so silly. All we have to do is walk out the door. Come on, everybody." They groped their way up the aisle to the door, but it was locked. They tried all the doors, but they were all locked. Susan began to cry again. "I'm hungry and I want to go home," she wailed. Bobby said, "I'll bet there's a back way, Larry. Let's look." They felt their way back down the aisle again and climbed up on the stage. Then suddenly they heard the front door open. A flashlight's bold eye blinked in the darkness and a voice said, "Hey, what's going on here? What are you kids doing?" It was Mr. Murphy, the janitor, and the children were so glad to see him that they ran and clung to his legs and talked all at once. "Oh, Mr. Murphy, we were locked in. We must have fallen asleep in the picture. What time is it? Will you let us out?" Mr. Murphy laughed at them, let them out the front door, and drove them home. Mother and Daddy were in the living room playing bridge with the Andersons and seemed not at all surprised to see the children. Mrs. Gray said, "There's bread and milk on the kitchen table. Please put everything away when you finish," and went on with her game. The children ambled out to the kitchen, but they were too tired to eat, so they went upstairs and flung themselves across their beds. After they had rested for a while, Larry suggested that they play burglar. They turned off all the upstairs lights and crept around behind the doors and under beds and had a fine, scary time until Larry pushed Bobby down the clothes chute. And Bobby stuck Susan and screamed, and Daddy came upstairs and yanked Bobby out, spanked them all, and sent them to their rooms. Susan and Bobby got right into bed and went to sleep. But Larry stayed awake until the guests had gone home and their mother and daddy had gone to bed. Then he pinched Bobby awake and they both sneaked into Susan's room and pulled off her covers. Larry said, "Let's go downstairs and see if there are any sandwiches or cookies left." Susan was very sleepy, but she said, "Oh, all right." They ate about 10 little sandwiches, a small dish of salted nuts, 2 little dishes of candy, some olives and pickles, and some chocolate marshmallow cake. They felt very lively after that, so they sat down at the bridge table and began playing slapjack. When they finished the last game, the birds were singing and they heard the thump of the morning paper on the porch. They scurried up to bed quickly. The next day was Patsy's birthday. It was a wonderful party with a fish pond and a magician who did tricks and games and balloons and prizes for every child. But Larry and Bobby and Susan did not enjoy it at all. Susan had such big black circles under her eyes that Patsy's mother thought she was sick and would not let her have any refreshments. Bobby was so sleepy he fell asleep just as the magician pulled a rabbit from under his chair. And the magician thought Bobby was so rude he gave the rabbit to her Hubert Prentice. Larry fell asleep right at the table. He laid his cheek in his ice cream, closed his eyes, and dreamed he was in the North Pole. Patsy's mother called all the others to look at him, and he awoke very embarrassed. That night, when 8 o'clock came, Mr. and Mrs. Gray were working on the budget and not saying much, and Susan and Larry and Bobby were sitting on the davenport, pinching each other to keep awake. At last, the clock struck. Bong, 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 bong. The children jumped up and rushed over to their mother and father. They said, "It's 8 o'clock and time for bed. Please let us go to bed. Please don't make us stay up anymore. Please." Mrs. Gray said, "Why, I thought you enjoyed staying up late. I thought all the children in this neighborhood stayed up late." The children said, "Nobody has to stay up late but us. We just hate it. May we go to bed, please?" Mrs. Gray said, "Very well, children, from now on, if you are good, I will let you go to bed at 8 o'clock every night."